League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. We're joined here in his regular slot by Connor Campbell, who's a financial analyst for Spreadex. How are you today, Connor?
Very good, thank you.
Right, up and away for the FTSE 100.
I know, it's crazy.
Champagne out, I think.
It seems to be that, you know, the index is dusted off its sort of summer cobwebs, and now the market's fully back engaged, investors are back engaged with what's going on. You know, obviously, you've had, the last few weeks, I've seen a decent amount of news last week, Deutsche Bank, and this week, you know, the Brexit comments from the Tory conference over the weekend. So the markets have had more to play with, but it does seem to be, you know, now that, you know, it's back to school and everyone's knuckling down for some, you know, hard work and a bit of excitement.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the first chart, which is the FTSE 100, broken through 7,000 already. What were the clients thinking, and what are you thinking about?
Well, since it started on that surge towards 7,000 yesterday, our clients have been selling at the 7,000, then 7,050 this morning. I think even if it's just short term, they're looking for it to dip away from those levels at some point this week or next week. I think it'll be remarkable if the FTSE holds on to those levels for a prolonged period of time. Not that it's going to fall away from them significantly, but, you know, it's expended a lot of energy yesterday and today on, you know, those few comments from Theresa May at the weekend. Whether that can continue Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, when focus will start to turn towards perhaps the non-farm jobs report, it remains to be seen. So our clients, I think, just looking for some kind of short-term dip away.
And I suppose the best trade over the last 15 years has been to sell the FTSE near 7,000. So,
you know,
that has been the winning one. Next market, which is the opposite, the mirror image of the FTSE.
Exactly. We've seen it hit, I think, fresh 31-year lows this morning against the dollar. You know, it's a pretty awful, awful period for the pound. You know, it's especially if you look at the chart, it puts into perspective however much, you know, it might have climbed back to 1.34. It's never really broken out and suggested that it can recover from those, you know, post-Brexit losses. But like our clients are doing with the FTSE, our clients have been buying around that 128, 127 mark. Again, I think looking for a short-term bounce away from those levels. You know, it's perhaps unlikely that it's going to smash through, you know, 126, 125 in the coming days. You know, that could well happen in the coming months as the Brexit timeline becomes a bit more solid and the idea of what May and Co are going to be sort of arguing for with the EU becomes a bit clearer. So for now, I think our clients are looking for it to bounce. But obviously, it's complicated this week by the non-farm jobs report on Friday. It looks set to be another sort of fairly meek jobs report on Friday. I think the headline non-farm figure is only meant to be 171 compared to 151 last month.
So they come up with the average figure over the last 3 years and just say that's what we're expecting.
I think so. Like, it's, the interesting thing about this non-farm Friday is I think it's the final one before the Fed meeting, because I think the next Fed meeting is the first and second of November, which is a pretty odd date given that isn't in time for the November set of, well, the October, I guess, set of non-farm figures, and it's the week before the election. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Fed do. I imagine they're not going to do a lot, really. It'd be a...
Well, we've been told it was live. One of the members have said it's a live meeting. I'm not quite sure whether...
It's baffling. I don't... The confidence the Fed would have to do anything the week before the election, I don't think it's got the courage to do that, really. Okay. But like I said, yeah, buying around those lows.
Okay, let's move on to the next market, which is Tesco, which is in recovery mode, I suppose.
It looks like it, yeah. I think, you know, the supermarket sector is still one of the toughest sectors out there, perhaps along with the travel sector and the property sector at the moment. You've seen mixed figures for the last few weeks from the big four supermarkets. Morrison's obviously posted its third third quarter of like-for-like sales increase earlier in September. Sainsbury's, however, suffered a pretty poor report. You know, Sainsbury's seems to be lagging behind. Tesco, obviously the market leader, it seems to be in a fairly strong position if you look at its sales figures. I think the latest Kantar World Panel survey suggested that it was sales were trading at two-year highs, which is good, obviously. The second quarter is reporting its half-year figures this week. The second quarter figures, it's potentially going to see its third consecutive rise in like-for-like sales, and anywhere between 0.5% and 1%. half your pre-tax profit expected to rise to 333 million from 74 million last year. Obviously, last year's figures are a bit of a, you know, a low bar to compare things to. However, there is also the issue of its pensions deficits expected to balloon to around 5 billion. I think that's a 2 billion increase on the last figure reported. So that could take away some of the goodwill gained by the, you know, sort of the recovery suggesting figures. Our clients are buying around the sort of the 180, 185 mark with the caveat that it is looking fairly high, so it's going to have to be a pretty strong report to perhaps see it burst out through towards 190. So we could see it sort of maintain that 185 level perhaps rather than a significant rise towards 190, 195.
Okay, we've got another retailer, I believe, next.
DFS Furniture, you know, sort of a fairly generic looking chart in terms of the retail sector pre and post Brexit, you know, a very gradual decline and then that horrific plunge. And then, you know, a decent recovery. In August, it jumped 14%, I think, in a single trading session as it reported a 7% rise in its annual revenue. You know, that's a really consistent figure for DFS. I think they reported half year rise at 7%, third quarter rise at 7%. So it's maintained that growth. This week it's going to reveal, you know, the fuller remit of its full-year figures. I think analysts are expecting 64.6 million in pre-tax profit. That's at the upper end of expectations based on DFS saying it would hit those upper targets earlier in August. I think that also the board's expected to announce a new progressive dividend policy that's around 45 to 50% of its post-tax profit. And I think investors will be looking for some kind of signal of its expansion plans in the new fiscal year. DFS, I think it's got ideas to expand on the continent where it's got a fairly healthy presence in France and Spain and especially Greece. And so I think it's going to be looking to consolidate those. Our clients buying around the 260 mark. It's actually, I think it rose yesterday and it's been rising this morning, I think based on some positive chatter over the weekend. So our clients are buying into that and looking to get into it around 260.
Okay, and finally a bit of a nosedive here for EasyJet.
Yeah, EasyJet looking pretty awful. You know, hasn't really managed any kind of significant recovery since the Brexit. I think the issue with EasyJet is it's in a sector where many of the issues are out of its control. You know, you've had the various terrorist attacks in the last 12 months. You had the French air control strike earlier in the year. You then had the Brexit, which I think pushed EasyJet's prices up £40 million in the space of 4 weeks after the referendum result. So EasyJet sort of caught in a bind, like you with the rest of the travel sector. There's not a lot necessarily it can do to combat this. I think it's not meant to be a particularly good half-year report this time around. I think analysts are expecting, full-year report. I think analysts are expecting it to warn that its profits could fall to, I think, 497 million to 517 million. That's a massive drop from the 686 million it reported last year. However, our clients have been buying around that £10 mark. I think they're looking that it managed to bounce away from that low in August. You know, the slightest bit of good news from EasyJet could see it rally away from that low, even if it does. The most likely thing is going to be if it warns the profit's going to fall, but not as quite as drastically as analysts are going to expect, it could see it climb towards 1050. So I think our clients are looking at some kind of bounce on slightly less than expected bad news.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. Conor Campbell, financial analyst for SpreadX, thanks for coming today.
Thanks very much.
We'll be back after the break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.